From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the 22nd day of August, 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll check in with the folks on their fourth day of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. And then tomorrow, we'll tally up all those numbers on the Pro Farmer Estimate during this half hour program. Today, we'll talk about the tour and its impact on the marketplace. Dan Zwicker will be here from Zwicker Consulting, and we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather in Chicago.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn, three quarters higher at $3.63 and a quarter. December, $3.71, three quarters higher. The March at $3.83, up a half. And May at $3.90 and three quarters, a half higher. July, $3.97 and a quarter, up a half. September beans down 4 and a half at $8.56. November, 4 and a quarter lower at $8.68 and three quarters. January, $8.82 and a half, down 4 and a quarter. And March futures down 4 and three quarters at $8.95 and a half. The May contract, $9.07, down 4 and three quarters. In July, 4 and three quarters lower at $9.17 and a quarter. Bean oil at $28.54, down 20 cents. The bean meal for the day, $1 lower at $2.93.70. Wheat futures, September contract, $4.67 and a quarter, up 4 and three quarters. December at $4.71 and three quarters, 3 and three quarters of a cent higher. August live cattle at $104.97 and a half, up $2.30. October, $87.50. Cents higher at $101.10. Feeder cattle finished the nearby August at $138.40, $1.02 and a half higher, and the September at $136.42 and a half, up $1.12 and a half. October lean hog $62.30. They finished down $1 for the day. Hey, next week is the Farm Progress Show in Decatur, Illinois, and I'll be there all 3 days in the University of Illinois tent. That's really easy to find when you come in the front gate. It's just a right turn and about a block and a half. I'll be on stage 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and you can find all of the details about who will be there on our website.
Support comes from Risk Management Commodities, presenting a commodities discussion on agronomics, market volatility, USDA crop report, and fall weather at 11 a.m. on August 26th at the Hog Heaven Barbecue in Mount Carmel. Lunch will be served. Reservations at 765-423-1385 or email kel at riskcom.biz.
Let's turn our attention now to what happened in Chicago. Dan Zwicker is here. He is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon, Dan. It's been kind of an interesting week with the Farm Progress, or rather with the Pro Farmer folks out on the road. Tell me what's been happening in the marketplace from your opinion.
Well, I think for the most part, the market has kind of was expecting what Pro Farmer kind of showed. And that's why we haven't really seen much movement in prices this week. It's been fairly calm. Now, soybeans weakened a little bit today, but I think that's because of these late season rains that's kind of come across the Corn Belt here over the past 5 days or so. I'm still up here in northwestern Illinois, and we did catch a good shower. And I can tell you, it definitely helped the beans. I'm not too sure it helped the corn any. I think it's pretty well set in place. But you can see that the beans definitely kind of perked up a little bit. So I think today's weakness in beans is pretty well attributed to some of these late season rains. Now, how many pods that puts on, I don't know. But I did notice that, you know, the Pro Farmer pod counts seem to be sharply lower. And I think there's more of a story there maybe materializing than maybe in the corn market. If that's what the case is, because just looking at those pod counts, and you know, it looks to me like the soybean bushel could be closer to 40 than 50, but that was just my guess looking at some of the pod counts that I was seeing on the tour. Whereas the corn yields, I think, were kind of somewhat in line or maybe slightly lower than what USDA's August number, you know, kind of showed.
Yeah, so we'll see more from Pro Farmer tomorrow when they actually tally all that up and give some national yield numbers and potential production for the year. Anything in the price action this week that concerns you or gives you hope?
No, well, the only thing that gives me hope is I do believe we're in a time window here where the market can kind of make a maybe a pre-harvest low. The problem you have is the month of September is a very dominantly down month. I mean, it's, you know, about an 85%, 90% probability that prices closes lower during September for the month. It's kind of like July. July is one of those 80-95 percenters that the month closes lower. So we have a very strong downward seasonal coming at us in September. But that could be altered somewhat, I think, by the lateness of the harvest. We're not going to see the harvest pressure that we normally do in September. The old crop situation, we got a lot of old crop inventory around, but spot demand for old crop inventory still remains very strong. So we may not have that downward seasonal pressure like we normally do. And looking at some of my cycles and the way they could align up, it looks like maybe September might be that 10% chance that we go higher during the month of September as we go on into the October timeframe.
Hey, I do appreciate you taking the time with us. Anything to add before I let you go for the day?
No, I think it's just pretty much wait and see. I really don't think we're going to know what size of crop this is until we get well into harvest. And since it's going to be a late harvest, I'm not even too sure the January crop report is going to get close. We may have to wait until March stocks report to kind of come through. It depends upon how much harvest I think is going on in December, whether or not that December 1 stocks number is going to be fairly solid. So it may be a long time, but I think the market will get a good feel of it once the combines start rolling. Of what kind of crop we have out there, and then the market will respond to that.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us here in the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. Next week, we'll be at the Farm Progress Show. Here's kind of a preview of what we've got going on. Listen to this list for the folks that'll be on stage with us during the day. And this is just for the 2 o'clock hour. The corn growers will be there. The pork producers will be there. FBFM, the Farm Business Farm Management folks. Bryce Anderson from DTN. That's weather. Bryce Knorr from Farm Futures. Dan Schaefer will be there from the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. Jerry Goodell will be with us from the Price Futures Group. Dale Durkles is going to join us from Grain Cycles. We'll have somebody from the Soybean Association. Aaron Johnson, who's the Executive Vice President from Farm Credit. Teresa Steckler from Illinois Extension on Beef Cattle. Scott Irwin will be there from Farm Doc. Nick Polson and Bruce Sherrick as well. It should be a great day. I hope you join us there in the U of I tent. All week long, we've been following the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Jeff Wilson has been leading the western leg of that tour. He now joins us from either Iowa or Minnesota. But Jeff, let's start with the Iowa numbers. Can you tally up what those numbers look like so far? Because I think they won't really come out until later tonight.
Sure. So the story in Iowa is that the ear counts are up a little bit in two of the three western districts that we counted yesterday. The eastern tour will be counting the other eastern two-thirds of Iowa today. In the northwest area, it was down 1.1% from a year ago. In District 4, this central western area, that was up 3.2%. And in the southwestern area, where there was a little bit of PP down there, there was quite a bit of flooding early on the season, the yields actually were pretty good. They were up 3.6%. We did see a pretty good range yesterday measuring those fields. They were anywhere from 75 to 255 bushels per acre. Generally, there was a little bit of disease starting to show up, and maybe some of the fungicides are starting to lose their muscle, and you know, might have to consider an extra coat of management practices there. On the bean pods, they were mixed in kind of the other direction. The northwest was up 1.3% from a year ago at just almost 1,100 pods. The central west was down 5.1% from a year ago at almost 1,200 pods, and the Southwest District was down 3.6% at 1,221 pods per 3 foot by 3 foot area. So I think it's a good crop in Iowa, at least in the western third of the state. And then tonight we'll match it up with what the eastern two-thirds show, and we'll see where we stand at the end of tonight.
And how does Minnesota look on your route?
Minnesota's, I know that we're kind of in a pretty good spot. We're going along just north of I-90, coming out of Spencer last night, or this morning. We had our meeting in Spencer last night. And so far, we've made 5 stops. We're making our 6th stop right now. We've averaged 178 bushels per acre on those 5 stops. And the range is, it's not too wide. It's 146 to 199. Generally, the health of the crop looks pretty good. It's a little delayed. I would say that most of the crop probably pollinated about 3.5 weeks ago. So it's going to need to run to make it past the first frost, normal frost date. The bean counts are okay. They're not spectacular, at least in our area. They've run from 660 pods per 3 foot by 3 foot area to as much as just over 1,000 pods, and we've averaged about 813. So maybe a little bit light in this area. The beans are there's no more blooms left. So what you have is probably what you're going to get. There's no shortage of moisture, so you should be able to fill the pods that are there with some pretty good sized beans. Today's weather is almost perfect for both the crops here in Minnesota. It's sunny. It's currently 66 degrees. You probably want to get it closer to 75, but the sunshine is really what these crops need right now. And the humidity is relatively low, and that should help to hold down any additional disease problems.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Take care, Todd.
Jeff Wilson has been traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. Brian Grady is now here. He's been on the eastern leg, and they did tally up Illinois last night. Let's start with that, Brian. What did you find in the state?
Well, our average yield, Todd, was 171.2 bushels per acre. That was down 11.1% from what we found on Crop Tour last year. Now, keep in mind, there are some adjustment factors. We know how much we typically miss the Illinois crop by 2001. The average has been that we need to add some bushels to that, and that would be the adjustment factor would be about 2 bushels. So if you add that, that'd put us at 73. Recent years here, we've been quite a bit lighter than that on the estimate. So a number will come in when Pro Farmer puts our estimate on it, but it's probably going to be a little bit higher than that 171.2 bushels per acre that we pulled from Crop Tour. Now, there's a lot of variability in the state. Different regions had different struggles, and crops are in varying stages of development across the state. That eastern portion had some struggles. Northwestern portions had its obvious struggles. West central Illinois, that was the area that I went through yesterday, had some pretty decent crops. I wouldn't say most of them weren't up to snuff with average, but they did have some areas that are some fields that were pretty darn solid when we pulled samples from them.
What'd you find in Iowa so far?
Well, when we crossed the border, I live in Iowa, and we've had a relatively good growing season, but that doesn't mean that it's been perfect by any means. It's been much better than in the eastern Corn Belt. So I anticipate we see some better yields, and we did in some of the fields, but there's still a lot of variability out here, to be honest with you. Sometimes the fields look pretty darn good from the road, and you get out there, and it shows some of the stresses from a spring. Even though the spring conditions weren't nearly as rough as what they were in Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, there were still some stresses, and it shows when we get out in the middle of these fields and pull the samples.
All right. Hey, good luck, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
That's Brian Grady. He, of course, is from the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We'll talk with him again just prior to the closing market report tomorrow and get the Pro Farmer production estimates. Those are different than the Pro Farmer Tour yields. And so those will all be tallied up, and we'll have those tomorrow afternoon for you during the closing market report right here on Illinois Public Media. Now joining us from the western leg of the tour is Sherman Newland. He's been traveling through those western Corn Belt states all week and in Iowa. I don't know whether he's made it to Minnesota yet or not. Well, maybe. Hey, how are you doing today, and where you been, Sherman?
Oh, doing well. Doing well, Todd. We left Spencer, Iowa this morning. We're on the, we got a two-car route this morning, so we jumped ahead like we did yesterday. We're currently in Minnesota. We went to New Ulm, Minnesota, and we started our route there and had been traveling along the route towards Mankato. Just went through Faribault, and we got like 50 miles left to get into Rochester. So we're taking samples along that route up then through there.
Yeah, so you're in the heart. I traveled that area early in the year, and that was not too bad at that point, but things change pretty rapidly. What's the corn look like?
It's not too bad. I mean, we've seen some, you know, pretty green fields, and then we've seen some yellowness, you know, some loss of nitrogen here and there. Overall, so far for our car average, it's a little on the low side because we pulled a couple of low samples, but we noted that. A 161 so far for the corn, and we're in District 8, and last year District 8 had a 178 average, and then the three-year average was 182.7 in District 8. So we're on the low side, but I don't know. Overall, a lot of the samples have been running in the 170s. So I'd say on average, though, if you threw out some of those lower numbers, we'd be in the low 170 averages. So off a little bit from last year and off maybe 8 or 9 from the three-year average.
How do the soybeans look?
Not too bad. 1286 has been the pod count average for the truck this morning. We've made 6 stops, I believe. In District 8, the average last year for soybeans was 1103. And the three-year average was 1103. So we're running a little bit ahead of average, actually, with the bean pods from what we've seen in this area.
So you've been through 4 states now, South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, and into Minnesota. What's your assessment largely of the crop?
It's not bad. It's not, it's immature, especially in some of the areas where we are now, and then South Dakota. Those areas are going to need more time to finish. And then, like I said yesterday, with this cooler weather forecast, that may hinder that going forward. The potential is there in a lot of areas. It's not a bad crop. I guess I feel like it's going to come in just a little under what USDA said on the last report for this area. Or a pro farmer probably could be coming in a little bit under, I should say. But it's not horrible out here. Nebraska has been one of the best states, and so is Iowa.
That's number 1 and number 3. That's not good news for a higher price, that's for sure, Sherman.
Well, I think it's going to be coming under, but drastically under enough to, you know, to get the market like, ooh, you know, excited. Not without a frost. Not in this area.
I think I will leave it right at that. Hey, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck getting back home.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Mm-hmm. Bye.
That's Sherman Newland from the western leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We'll have the final results during tomorrow's closing market report. On this Thursday afternoon, we're joined by Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Todd. How's your day going?
You know, it's been a little wet, and that's not a terrible thing. Of course, we've been dry, and I guess, we've been catching up pretty quickly. Although I have talked to some farmers in the area that say they remain dry in the Champaign and eastern Illinois area. Can you tell me kind of about the cool weather we're having right now and what that might look like over the next 10 days or so?
Yeah, well, it is going to stay pretty cool for a while. We'll see some temperature fluctuations here and there, but generally the core of heat is going to be far away from the United States, at least from the central United States, and that's going to allow cool fronts to move through every couple of days. So high temperatures will mostly be in the 70s to low 80s with lows in the 50s over much of the next 10 days. And that is significantly below normal. So pretty cool for the rest of August and even into next month.
What does it mean, if anything, for that September time frame as it relates to frost and freeze when we have cool weather like this?
Well, there's basically no correlation between temperatures at this time of the year and temperatures next month. You can have a hot August, and then that can be followed by a cool September, or you can have a cool August and then have a very warm September. But generally, they don't deviate in the same direction from normal. So even though it's cool now and it does look cool even into the beginning of next month, we don't have real reason to be concerned that it's going to stay cool all the way through the month of September. Now, of course, we do need to monitor that, because starting around September 15th, that's about the earliest you could possibly get a freeze in the northern areas of the corn and soybean belt, primarily in the Dakotas and northwest Minnesota, and that would be a temperature of 28 degrees or lower. So again, that's still about 3 weeks out. Once you move into the corn belt, the very, very earliest dates for temperatures that cold are generally at the very end of the month and more so in October. And that's just the very early ones. Normally, everything happens a few weeks later than what we just discussed. So we will have to watch that next month. But at this point, we don't have a reason to start thinking that an early frost or freeze is coming, even though it is cool now.
So the crop does remain late in a large part of the Corn Belt. What does rainfall look like over the next week or so?
Well, we'll see more thunderstorms in the far southern areas. A lot of us saw rain over the last few days, and the front that produced that has moved to the south. And so parts of the Delta and into the far southern Corn Belt, we'll see some rain here over the next few days. Once we get into the weekend, we'll start to see storms develop from Nebraska north through the Dakotas. That occurs as a strong system develops and then approaches the Corn Belt. That system is going to move across the Corn Belt Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and that should ignite some thunderstorm clusters here and there. It's a bit uncertain as to exactly where these thunderstorms are going to locate, but we're just forecasting a half of an inch to 1.5 inches of rain over the next week, and that's primarily from that system that moves through early next week and or one that follows right after it. It's a little bit tricky to figure this one out, but temperatures are going to be cool, and there is a little bit of rain coming up, and there's only a few areas that still need rain. And unfortunately for a lot of people listening right now, and that goes right through the heart of Illinois. So most of the dryness problems are located pretty much across the northern half of Illinois and the northern half of Indiana, and then in sporadic areas of Iowa, Minnesota, and Michigan. But when you add all this up, it just doesn't add up to a whole lot of corn and soybean production. Only about 30% of each crop, both corn and soybeans, were drier than normal over that period. And that just does not scream problem. Typically, that number would need to be a lot higher. And the reason it's not higher is because everyone outside of that area has been getting rain. The Dakotas, Nebraska, Kansas, most of Minnesota, a lot of Wisconsin, even parts of Missouri and into central and southern Illinois have seen some decent totals lately. So that's why this is not an alarming problem, even though it certainly is a localized one.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, Tom. We'll chat next week.
Yes, we will. That, of course, is Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget to visit our website, willag.org. You'll find all those Pro Farmer Crop Tour numbers there. And the final numbers, once they're released at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, updated at that same space as well. Next week is Farm Progress Show. We'll be on site in the Illinois tent doing shows at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 2 o'clock. I hope you can join us. Again, that's Farm Progress Show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday in Decatur, Illinois. Hoping that you'll come by and see us. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.